So, Josephine Ensign, and I'm here today on Wednesday, the 8th of November, 2017, with Liz Rambus. And we're at the Jack Straw Studios. And Liz, as we were talking a little bit before about the Skid Road Project, it's really aimed to increase an understanding of the complexity of safety net healthcare in King County. So, you know, a lot to do with kind of homelessness and marginalization. So the first question that I have for you is, what led you to the work that you do now? And as part of that, obviously, say a little bit about what your work is now.
Sure. Right now, I work for the Seattle Indian Health Board here in Seattle. Half of my day is spent at the Chief Seattle Club, which is also in Seattle, downtown in Pioneer Square. I do nursing services, general nursing services there, and education. We do a monthly health topic, we call it, where I teach on relevant topics. And then the second half of my day, I am a nurse supervisor there at the health board, doing patient care and various other duties. So that's what I do.
And how long have you been there?
A little over 4 years now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm. And what led you to that work?
This feels like a long story.
Go for it.
It may not be. It could be shortened. So lots of things. I think way before I thought about becoming a nurse, I had a lot of experiences that seemed to lead me toward it, and I didn't realize it at the time. When I was filling out essays for school, it became really apparent that lots of things had lined up for that. I think the very beginning of it was when I was I grew up in Detroit. I'll just start back there. Ended up doing a year of college and realizing I was not ready for college. So I went to spend the summer in Alaska when I was still quite young, 19, and fell in love with that place, realized that I was probably born in the wrong place and needed to stay there instead, and got pregnant. Very young, I think, was young, and it was very hard on my family, and so I didn't want to go back. Mm-hmm. And it was very hard. It was very hard to have only to have not have finished an education and now be ready to raise a baby. So I got tremendous help from the public health nurses in tiny town Alaska. And I thought, wow, you know, this is like changing my life, changing my children's lives. I ended up having two more, stayed in Alaska nearly 20 years. And my connection with the health system there was really good. I mean, in a way, they were sort of like a pseudo parent for me. And that was really, really needed and really wonderful. Kids got great care. But I also didn't realize I had become so in love with the country, the geography, the people. I'd never met Native American people when I lived in Detroit. It opened my eyes to a lot of experiences and a lot of the difficulties of that life up there, the rugged life and the transient people. I never knew homeless people when I was growing up. I'm sure they existed, but I was sheltered from that. So it was interesting, and I loved it, but I still didn't realize it was leading me to anything. It wasn't until many years later when I decided to go back to work, trying to raise the kids and earn a living. And I started doing work that just felt comfortable to me. So I became a CNA. I did some home care for a woman with, I don't remember what she had. I think it was multiple sclerosis, and helped her in her home. It was a very difficult home life. And I just felt like I was finding where my empathy was developing, I guess, is what I think was happening. Anyway, to jump over many years, I ended up, when the kids got much older, deciding I really probably should go to school. I should go back to school. I'd become a fisherman. I was working in the high school. I had lots of piecemeal jobs that were in the helping fields. But I decided to move to Seattle and go to school. And I explored lots of things and decided on nursing for a few reasons. But I kept thinking I would tick off the things I didn't like as I went through the rotations in nursing, and I'd find what I really wanted to do. And I just never ticked any off. It just seemed like everything was so interesting, and I liked the rotations. I liked the instructors. I was thriving until my community health rotation. And then it was kind of like when I went to Alaska, I had this sort of awakening, like, oh, I'm coming full circle. Like, this is what I always thought I wanted to do, is just have a much more of a global sense of helping and not just working in a hospital and helping one patient at a time and kind of seeing health as a from a bigger perspective. So community health just kind of sunk in. Your course, Betty's course. I was encouraged by my advisor to consider the community health doctorate program, which I did. I was old enough to decide I didn't have time to go spend many years working and maybe go back to school someday. Mm-hmm. So I decided to do it all at once. And so when it came time to look for a job after all that education, I realized my heart was still so much with the Native people. And after living in Seattle for all those years, I realized what an incredible set of obstacles most of the Natives here are living under. And thought, you know, that was kind of a perfect blend. If I could find a way to be a part of that, use all this education and really just start my career in a place where I felt like it was the most meaningful for me. So long nice. Story.
Yeah. So were some of your community rotations with a Native?
They were, in fact. Yeah. My internship, 2 out of the 3 years, was on the Squamish Reservation. Right. So that was nice. Helpful, too.
Good. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what have you been like your greatest joys in your work? Like, have there been like memorable moments or stories? Obviously, without divulging patient identity, but
sure.
Anything that just really stands out to you?
Yeah, it is really rewarding every day, and that surprises me. One of the things I am saying pretty regularly to people is that one of the things I love about my job is I learn something every day. And I'm not sure you can say that in every other job. It certainly wasn't true in fishing. That got very boring very fast. So, yeah, I learn a lot. I have rewarding things that come up pretty regularly with patients. You know, there are a lot of stories I'm sure I could tell. But the one I think that strikes me is a woman who I met maybe over a year ago, who was homeless, pushed around pretty much all her belongings on a walker, also had a dog, her pet and service animal. Challenge after challenge. She had many conditions. She had overcome lots of addiction. She was just pretty sickly when I met her. And she was very timid, and she told me right out she doesn't trust women. She doesn't trust people in general. But she had a need, and she knew I was there, and she came in for that. And little by little, I realized she was starting to come in more often, until she was coming in every single day. She was getting healthier. She was finding new ways to run her life. She considered me a friend. We had we didn't cross boundaries in terms of hanging out together, but I knew she was coming in there because not only had she built rapport, but she had really started building her own life. And yeah, that was incredibly satisfying to know that I played a role in that. And we don't see each other much now. She's moved to the peripheries of the community, but we touch base every once in a while, and mm-hmm. she tells me what's going on, and
she's doing better.
She's doing much better, and she's just so much more. I think this is the biggest piece of it, is she's so much more aware of her capacity than she was before I met her. So she's taken things into her own hands that she just really didn't seem to have the confidence or the belief in herself to do.
And nice.
Yeah, I don't know for sure how much of a role I played in the long term, but I can still take satisfaction
right.
from that. Yeah.
Something she was coming back for every mm-hmm. day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She grew. And it was really nice to see that.
Yeah. And so maybe as part of that, because then I can imagine Chief Seattle Club, besides having the health clinic there, it has lots of other kinds of services. Mm-hmm. Do you want to say anything about those or maybe what she took advantage of?
Yeah. There are wonderful things there. It's a really great place. It's Native only, American Indian or Alaska Native only. And so in many ways, it's a social experience for people who are connected by location or family and either know each other or just feel comfortable with one another. They offer a large breakfast and now a large lunch 7 days a week. So that's pretty critical for a lot of people mm-hmm. to know that they'll get those meals at the very least in their day. They have washer, dryer service, shower, hot shower, all the hygiene items they could need. So these are things they won't have to carry around. And when you're carrying everything you own, it's really a big deal not to have to carry a bottle of shampoo.
Right.
And you know, these are small things that I don't think everyone's aware of. So there's an art studio mm-hmm. there. They can make their own art. They bring in instructors to teach different things.
Your necklace, right?
Like my necklace, yes. There are support groups led there. There are just big comfy couches where people can just crash. I can't tell you how many people tell me that they didn't sleep at all last night. Mm-hmm. They were on a bus or they don't feel safe sleeping at night. So they're pretty tired by the time they get in and eat breakfast. So it's a very comfortable space. Computers, they've been sometimes able to help people with travel and mm-hmm. getting from place to place as needed. A lot of services in a small place and in a short time frame. But now being open 7 days a week is hugely helpful for some folks.
Right in the heart of Pioneer mm-hmm. Square.
Yeah. So while it's not an overnight shelter, people can be brought there from other areas of town and spend a good portion of their day there.
And they're planning to build some mm-hmm. housing units, right?
They're planning on buying the entire building next door and revamping that. We're hoping we can have a medical presence there beyond the nursing at mm-hmm. some point. But, yeah, they've got big plans.
Right.
Housing yes. and housing plus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of advocacy mm-hmm. around.
Yeah, a lot of room to spread out. So I'm not sure what all the plans are, but they'll have a lot more space.
Right. Yeah. So what would you say, I mean, Seattle is a bit unique mm-hmm. Just in terms of its history and especially around Native American homelessness. Mm-hmm. But like what have you learned about that? What things do you see that are kind of special factors in terms of that kind of intersection?
Mm. Well, I guess one of the biggest special factors is racism. I mean, the land was taken away from people. And the land itself is one thing, but it's really everything. It's their sense of community. It's the way they gathered their food, the way they produced medicine, the way they built their culture really was all about the land. So historically, that land was removed from one set of people, and the legacy was that no one else got it either. So homelessness was one thing, but the racism moved on to people not being able to work, people not being able to be even out in the streets after dark. At a certain point in the mm-hmm. in the development of the city, the homelessness, it almost seems like, I've been working in it long enough that it seems obvious to me, the links. I guess it isn't to everyone. But, yeah, it was a removal from the land and a removal from the culture and a separation of people from the way they were able to live their lives. And homelessness was the natural result, unfortunately. There's no place here for a lot of those people even today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even a tiny apartment, you know, getting people finally into housing It just seems heartbreaking in many ways to me.
Right. But just in terms of like what they've lost.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. The obstacles that have to be overcome just to get a small apartment, thinking about their ancestors owning this entire area.
Right.
It's difficult.
Right. And how many would you say of the clients that you work with also were in the service?
Veterans?
Yeah.
Many. Quite a few.
And any like particular kinds of issues that you experience with them at all?
PTSD, mm-hmm. for sure. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of homelessness, a lot of physical conditions that many that were directly related to injuries mm-hmm. in that era of their lives. So,
right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so besides, like, the racism and the kind of, like, the entrenched history there, what kinds of other challenges would you say you have, like, frustrations that you have in your work that you've experienced?
Hmm.
Either, like, systems level or...
Yeah, systems level. Oops.
It's okay.
Forgot that was noisy. Systems level, we just had a situation that would highlight that pretty well. We had a woman who had been coming to us for about 3 or 4 months now. Her condition declined rapidly. She came to us for help. It was a struggle for us to help her, but she clearly wanted the help. She was ready. She was homeless. She was having liver issues. She passed away just this last weekend, so things progressed rapidly. She wasn't, in the time we knew her, sick enough to get respite care.
Mm.
She wasn't well enough to take care of herself. And we were right in the middle mm-hmm. of lots of people struggling and scratching heads and making phone calls and, excuse me, trying to do the things that no one could do. We just didn't have a place in this city that could help take care of her. She finally ended up dying in the hospital, which mm. at some point in that process, she decided was a whole lot better than dying on the street.
Yeah.
As far as we were concerned, it wasn't really great.
Mm.
But we need a lot more of that in-between care for people who just need to be
taken care of.
Need to be off the streets, taken care of. The respite care that we have available now, as far as I know, is it's wonderful that we're prioritizing the sickest and the most in need, but there's just so much more.
Mm-hmm.
So many people that are in that in-between. It's very difficult.
And so you're mostly talking about the Jefferson
mm-hmm.
one
mm-hmm.
with Harborview.
Right,
yeah.
The Edward Thomas
right.
house. And those people are wonderful, and they try hard, and they're really good at what they do. And we have had patients that have been with them, and they try very hard mm-hmm. to fill the needs when they can. But there's just
so
not
much
always
more,
the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so much more need.
So much more.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So did she end up dying at Harborview?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where she, yeah,
mm-hmm.
kind of hospital of last resort or first resort?
Yeah, and, you know, they were wonderful, too. They took care of her, and it was sad and sweet and difficult
mm-hmm.
in so many ways. I'm glad she was in a bed and looked after.
Right.
I'm not sure if I answered your question. That, at a systems level, is one of my hardest things.
Mm-hmm.
I deal with a lot of people with wounds. I deal with a lot of people who just need to elevate their legs or just need to be out of the weather. And it's very hard as a nurse trying to help people and instruct them on how to take care of themselves when those options are just not there.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, we can be creative and say, well, put your backpack under your legs when you get a chance. And then I look around the community and I think, where would I lay down right
mm-hmm.
now? I'm not even comfortable putting my feet up at an airport where people can lay on the floor and sit on the floor you know, it's a little more accepted. But where do you do that out in the street? And how do you get out of the weather to do it? And let alone wounds and
keeping things clean.
Keeping things clean, keeping their own bodies clean, using a bathroom. I mean, there are just so many obstacles. And my nursey instructions on, you know, you keep this clean, keep it covered, keep it dry. I'm like, you know, you have to go beyond creativity and into, like, how do we actually help people? So systems level, that answers that question. We need more and better for people who are on the streets.
And do you see very many young people, or is it more
see them both.
Right.
See them all.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what are your hopes for the future of safety net healthcare in Seattle and King County and specifically around the population that you work with, but probably also homelessness in general?
I support supervised consumption sites. I think that's one way we can help people with harm reduction. People who have addictions don't need the additional problems of homelessness and being in unsafe situations when they may use. So I'm really hoping that we can move forward with that. I think linked to that, it would be really wonderful if people who also didn't have a place to go had a place to stay there. So maybe building those into some of our, I don't know if it would be respite care, but there's got to be a combination of these things.
Right.
There's just too many factors for people on the street. And as you may know in some of your work, it's not just about putting someone in a unit and being done. You know, there's still the substance use and the learning how to live in a home. I mean, there are a lot of things people don't know. I've met people who have been homeless for 30 years. And you think, well, that's really the extreme. But even a year or two is a long time to be learning how to live in a crowded space or learning how to live outside, literally outside under bridges. I mean, there's a way of adapting that people have had to do that many of them can't just be put in a house and walked away from that. So lots of things we have to do. We need more mental health services. We need more supervised consumption sites. We need more respite services. We need a lot more education for people to learn to live together in this community and stop pushing aside the most vulnerable, which is
And what do you think? What do you think would help with that? What have you seen that's helped?
I'm not sure I have seen a lot that's helped. It's not an area that I've done a lot of research, but I think building programs into places like our schools, of course, starting people young is always a good idea. Maybe building more mandatory services. I know that the high schools still do, or I think they still do, service projects. You know, maybe those could be aimed at people that really need the help in the community, and that could open the eyes of younger people as well. We can maybe raise up some people that are more compassionate and maybe more likely to go into fields to do that kind of work. It's just a thought off the top of my head. I think school programs are probably a good place to start.
Right. Maybe some more nurses as politicians.
That would be very helpful. People who actually know what's going on at that level would be very helpful.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you had any aspirations for that yourself?
I do. Nothing specific. I'm more of a follower in that department. I like to get on the bandwagon when somebody's saying, come to these rallies or come to Olympia. I think it was your class that we did that in, in fact. I'm somebody who needs to be invited to those things, but I like to be counted and asked to participate.
So you're a supporter.
Yeah, I'm a supporter more than a leader in that aspect. But it's certainly needed. And right. And I guess that's why I always say yes to it when I'm invited. Yeah. I understand it. I'm just not leading it.
Right. And have you seen, especially, you've been there for 4 years, and that's, some of the years that the ACA or Obamacare mm-hmm. was enacted. Have you seen anything positive, negative that has impacted the population that you work with from that?
Because of Obamacare?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure. Yeah, lots more people coming in and getting care. A lot more people realizing they can actually afford things that they couldn't afford before. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sort of a miracle, really, that the change that happened. And I think even though they knew about our system and they could come to me or, excuse me, or any of the nurses that were there, the idea that we could then connect them to the bigger system mm-hmm. was something they just didn't have, or they didn't realize they had access to, or they didn't have access to. So now, yeah, we can do a certain amount of nursing there, but our bigger goal is to get people connected into the medical system. Mm-hmm. So, and it's not just the health board. If they need a provider, we're open to helping them get anywhere they want to go. But I just see people now, after all these years, it's becoming more of a thing. Like, mm-hmm. I think I need to see a doctor for
right.
this, where they're just – that wasn't happening 4.5 years ago when mm-hmm. I started there. It was more like, oh, I never see doctors. I don't know about doctors. I don't go unless I really have to. And, yeah, I've seen a big change.
Right. So that's all from the kind of Medicaid expansion
I think so.
In our state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I do think
nice.
So. Yeah.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would want to talk about at all here?
Wow, I wish I thought about that question a little bit in advance. I don't – nothing has come up for me in this interview.
Okay.
I do love brainstorming about how we can build a better Seattle around the people that – need it the most, and I would say people who don't have housing fall into that category. Watching the gentrification of the city, like so many other cities, they ebb and flow. When they become popular, everybody wants to live here and have it be clean and pretty and safe, and that means moving others out to achieve that. It's another big problem we have in this city that we need to really be putting a lot of effort into. I don't know what the question you would ask me would be, but that's a topic. They're also related. I think that's the lure to me of community health. It's not just one piece, and it's not just helping people. It's building a whole community that creates healthy people.
Mm-hmm. And looking at, I guess, sustainable growth in the city. And,
sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, because again, I may have already said this, but building housing units is just one piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, getting people off the street is wonderful, and we're all going to support that and applaud that. But it's a bigger system that has to be connected for people to do well in that housing.
So the more supportive housing with the kind of
sure.
different services that people need, including community, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Building community that can embrace people that are working against obstacles that are hard to understand unless you ask.
Great. Well, thank you.
Appreciate
you taking time for this, and it's good to see you again.
It's good to see you too.
Right.
Yeah. All these years later.
Yes, that's right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.